Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is a follow-up of last week, so you can go out and see on the site, and I'll put a link to it there. I introduced the opiates legislation and the effort to fight the opioids problems, addictions, deaths here in Massachusetts. And our Attorney General, Maura Healey, is leading that effort, and she was involved in the legislation. So last week I talked about the legislation that had been passed recently, which fundamentally makes it much harder to get large amounts of opioids. My questions for her are going to be, is that going to work, and is it the doctors, and what's the deal? So she should be calling in here in a minute or two. And it's a big deal. And the idea was that there probably was a small number of kind of rogue doctors who were susceptible to overprescribing kind of stuff like that. But the recent figures out in polls by the Journal of the American Medical Association and the like suggest that it isn't, in fact, a few rotten apples. It's more systemic and endemic problem, and that it's typically it is the primary care physicians and the internists and then the orthopedic people who prescribe. And you could understand how the patients come and say, I hurt, and what can you do for me sort of thing, and the response would be to give pain relief, and the pain relief can often be an opiate of some type or another, and that seems to be the basis of the problem. So, you know, I've never been much on self-policing groups, whether it is literally the police or physicians or bankers or, I don't know, realtors, any of those groups who allegedly judge themselves and keep their organizations clean. And it doesn't seem to work to me. So this is another one of those where if it is, in fact, a fairly large number of physicians, how is it that you get them clean, and how do you limit it? And the Massachusetts legislature figured, well, we'll just make it harder to get, and you can get like 3 to 7 days worth of strong drugs unless you have been certified by multiple physicians to be someone with chronic pain conditions who actually needs, you know, regular doses of high-powered medicines, painkillers. So that seems to be the way it goes. And I think we have a guest on here. Here, let's see. Hello, Attorney General?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm not anywhere near as overworked as you are, so it's
great. Well, good to be on with you.
Good. I just realized it's been almost 2 years. I should have done this before. Anyway, welcome back.
Well, thank
you. I did do a show last week where I talked about the new legislation and how it makes it harder to get opioids. But then I've been looking a lot about the there was a theme out there that, in fact, maybe it was a few rotten apples of doctors who overprescribe, and yet the Journal of American Medical Association, other places, published the figures, and no, it isn't. It's primary care physicians and internists and orthopedics, and all of these people come to them and say, I hurt. And that seems to be the problem. It isn't just a simple case of a couple bad doctors. So if you're faced with that and you have this new law that makes it harder to get strong painkillers for more than 7 days, I believe it is, unless you're certified as a having chronic conditions, is that going to go a long way towards solving this opioid problem?
Well, this is an incredible public health crisis, an epidemic, and
yeah.
no one approach is going to solve everything. But what we need to do is bring multiple solutions to this and multiple approaches. And, you know, to me, it boils down to this. We need to do a lot more education and outreach to people, particularly young people, so that they don't start down the road to experimenting with prescription pain medication. We need to have better guidelines and controls and monitoring of who is prescribing what and to whom, so that, you know, pills are getting to people who actually need them and not getting to places where they could end up on the black market. We need to do everything we can to provide more access to treatment and recovery services. This is a disease, and we need to treat it as a disease. And we need to recognize that people are going to relapse. And you know, we need certainly short-term treatment, but more importantly, we need long-term treatment for people. This could take people several years, and we need to build in that sort of support. And finally, we need to do everything we can to combat the trafficking of heroin and fentanyl into the New England region. We've seen increasingly that, you know, while nationally more people overdose and die from prescription pain medication than heroin, increasingly what we're seeing here in Massachusetts is that the percentage is starting to go up in terms of the number of deaths related to heroin and fentanyl. So we need a multi-pronged approach on this to be able to combat this terrible public health crisis.
So is there a role for, you are the chief cop here in Massachusetts, is there a role in clamping down on physicians? I know that there are other people like MDs and dentists and other people can prescribe, but it's mostly physicians, MDs. Is there a way of saying, well, they really can't police themselves, we have to police them?
Well, let me tell you this. This has been a top priority for our office. Even from the time I was running for Attorney General, I announced before I was actually sworn in that this would be our top priority, and it has been. And it's taken, you know, as an office, we're taking a look at this from a number of different angles, looking at what got us here to begin with, from the marketing of these drugs by pharmaceutical companies.
Yep.
Remember, 15 years ago, OxyContin was marketed as safe and effective. It was marketed with representations that risks of addiction were overstated. We saw an incredible proliferation in the prescribing of prescription opioids over the last 15 years. And with that, we saw a real increase in the number of opioid overdoses and opioid deaths. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you can believe this, we are 5% of the world's population here in the United States, but we consume 80% of the world's prescription opioid supply, 80%. So, you know, we need... So our view is that we need to look at pharmaceutical marketing practices, prescribing practices, dispensing practices. And we met early on with the medical community and invited them, asked them to be part of the solution, and they have stepped up. They've supported the need for safe prescribing guidelines, for education for dental students and medical school students, for continuing education for doctors and dentists on safe prescribing practices. Our office has also taken action against some of the doctors out there who were prescribing pills in amounts that were way off the charts and that were causing great harm to people, taking advantage of essentially people who were sick and were addicts. We've advocated for better prescription drug monitoring programs. And also one thing that we had to do initially was to work with the maker of Narcan to make that more available to first responders at a cost-effective price. And we also sought legislation to make the trafficking of fentanyl a crime, which, you know, hadn't been a crime before. So there's work that is underway with doctors who let's face it, they go to medical school wanting to care for people, and they are absolutely part of the solution on this, and we need to support that, and we need to work together on this as we push for more education, more treatment, more recovery services.
Let me give you just a very quick view of my, I don't do these drugs, and the only time I had it was I had a very serious leg operation, and they gave me morphine drips when I was in the hospital, and the implants and all this other kind of stuff like that, and then they began giving me all the tablets, and they moved me on to hydromorphone, but lots of it. And they kept coming in, and like the nurses and doctors would come in like repeatedly throughout the day, stay ahead of the pain, they kept saying, giving me this more and more and more. Now, this was 7 years ago, and they sent me home with large amounts of it, and I was terrified of it. I didn't do this stuff. I am in the hospital. I told them I was going to do like a third to a quarter of what they wanted me to take, and they kept pushing back on me, pushing back on me. Are those days gone? Are the days when the nurses and doctors say, stay ahead of the pain, just keep taking it and shut up?
Well, you know, I hope so. I hope so, because we've seen the dangers with some of this medication. Look, there is no doubt that there is a place for prescription pain medication. There are people with chronic pain. There are people with acute surgeries that need access to prescription pain medication. But the problem for too long has been that, you know, a person may go get a tooth pulled or may have some relatively minor dental work done, or be treated by an MD and walk out of the doctor or dentist's office with a prescription for, you know, 30 Vicodin when really maybe what they they needed was an aspirin. And that's what this legislation here in Massachusetts in part accomplishes. It's changing the culture around this. It's making clear that, you know, it cannot be the case that these pills, which are so potent, dangerous, albeit effective in terms of addressing some pain issues, you got to be careful. And that's why prescribers are now going to have to check the prescription monitoring program every time they prescribe one of these narcotics, because we need to know, and they need to know, who they're prescribing to, when they last received a prescription. Is this a person who has a history of drug addiction or has overdosed? That's why this legislation gives patients now the ability to say, hey, wait, don't give me more than I need here. Let's limit the number of pills that I'm going to receive. And importantly, it sets a one-week limit for first-time opioid prescriptions so that hopefully, you know, gone are the days where you're walking out with a whole bottle of pills. I've heard story after story from parents whose kids were treated for a sport injury, from people who were injured on the job at work or got into a car accident, and, you know, sort of unsuspectingly, in no time, found themselves addicted to prescription pain medication and then ended up moving to heroin, which became cheaper than the prescription pain pills. And, you know, that's what we've seen here in Massachusetts and across New England, and certainly working on improved prescribing and dispensing practice is important, working on education is important, and working on getting treatment and services for those in recovery is absolutely key. Just about every family in our state has direct or indirect experience with this right now. It's that pervasive, and it's striking communities, rich and poor, people from all walks of life and educational levels, ages, races, ethnicities, you name it. It's just a disease that does not discriminate.
And the deaths, and I don't know whether our listeners are going to see that, but they are a tremendous number of deaths, and they've been climbing and climbing, so it's shocking. Yeah.
It's shocking, and you know, this is a crisis that is going to live with us for a while. When you think about the number of grandparents raising grandchildren right now because of this, when you think about the fact that, you know, still here in Massachusetts we see 4 or 5 deaths a day, those are the ones that are reported. I think those may actually undercount the number of people who've actually succumbed to opioid-related deaths. And, of course, every day there are so many people whose lives are saved through the use of Narcan. So we have a lot of work to do, but this will continue to be a top priority from our office. We've made some headway this year with the legislation, with some of the actions that we've taken against some of the doctors and pill mills, with our work with doctors in working on comprehensive guidelines and guidance, in working to make Narcan more accessible, and bringing cases to combat investigations and cases to shut down some of the drug trafficking of heroin and fentanyl.
All right. Well, okay, I'll follow this, and maybe I'll check back with you again as it goes. I have a friend who does that medical coding stuff, and they dickers with all these insurance companies about who pays for what and stuff. And he's ended up warning a number of physicians and physician practices and saying, you know, you look at how much you're prescribing here. So maybe there's a lot more of that going on out there.
Good. Right. Good. Well, okay. We certainly have needed to change the culture around this for a while. So appreciate
right.
your coverage of this important issue.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
All right. Take good care.
Good afternoon.
Bye-bye.